Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hey friends, happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys being here today. If this is your first time, thanks so much for joining us. You can find us here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast 365 days a year. Before we get into our main conversation with Nick Faribault, who does an unbelievable job on the Steelers beat covering the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're going to enjoy that conversation with him momentarily. We want to get to our What's on the Horizon segment presented by Schreiber Foods. And what's on the horizon right now are injuries for Green Bay. Two new injuries popped up on the injury report. We'll get there in just a moment. Before we get there, Steelers, Scotty Miller is out. Yes, that's Scotty Miller. He is out for the Steelers. He can't hurt us in this game. Shout out to Jacob Morley for tweeting that out. Questionable are Zach Frazier, Malik Harrison, and Will Howard. Will Howard and Malik Harrison both practiced in full. So those are probably non-issues. The big one here is Zach Frazier. He sat out on Thursday, practiced on Friday. He's their starting center. He is questionable. Again, limited participant on Friday. My guess is he probably plays, but if you're looking at one injury for the Steelers to keep an eye on for their inactives on Sunday, it is certainly Zach Frazier. For the Packers, Dontavian Wicks and LVN are out. Meanwhile, Warren Brinson, Matthew Golden, Brandon McManus, Christian Watson, and Devontae Wyatt are all questionable. Now, the big thing here, Matthew Golden and Warren Brinson were both new pop-ups on the Friday injury report. We saw this just a week ago with Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs came on the injury report on Friday. We all thought, oh, nothing to worry about. He's questionable, no big deal. And then all of a sudden, it was a real big deal when they activated a running back on Saturday. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh my God, is he going to play or not? Thankfully, he did. And he was integral in that win against the Arizona Cardinals. Now Matthew Golden and Warren Brinson, defensive tackle, both Devontae Wyatt and Warren Brinson are questionable. If either of them are able to play, you're probably fine. They just go with four. But even if Devontae Wyatt is the one that's active and Brinson can't go, you wonder if they bring up a fifth defensive tackle just because it's possible that Wyatt coming back from injury is on a snap count, or maybe is they're just a little bit worried if he can make it through the game. The only defensive tackle on the practice squad for Green Bay is James Ester. You had it all the way along. No question about that. James Ester is the practice squad defensive tackle. He would get called up if need be, but hopefully one, if not both of those defensive tackles are able to go, but worth monitoring there. And then at wide receiver, Christian Watson is questionable. It sounds like he's going to play in this game, but until we get the call up on Saturday, that will be the indicator. If they don't call him up Saturday, he's not going to play. If he does get the call up, he will play. Pretty solid indicator there. If he doesn't play, if Wicks, we already know, is out, Jaden Reed is out, and if all of a sudden Matthew Golden can't play, you are down to Savion Williams, Romeo Doubs, Malik Heath, and maybe a little bit of Bo Melton as well. You get very thin. They'd probably have to call up a receiver in that situation. Even if Christian Watson is active, he's probably limited to, what, 15 to 20 snaps in this game? I can't imagine he plays more than that no matter what. You still might be in a little bit of no man's land there and probably need to call up a wide receiver. So this is a very interesting injury report for Green Bay, and we're going to have to keep an eye on those call-ups on Saturday to see, do they call up a receiver? Do they call up a defensive tackle? If not, you're probably in the clear. The other one, of course, to keep an eye on Brandon McManus as well. If they can't have him go, then they have Lucas Haversick still. If McManus is good to go, it's possible that Haversick could be the one that they release in order to get Christian Watson on the 53. We'll cover that for you on Saturday when it happens. Right now, it's all just speculation, but we'll keep an eye on those roster moves come Saturday. And that is What's on the Horizon, presented by Schreiber Horizon. Now it is time for our great conversation with Nick Faribault. You're going to enjoy this one. Get a full breakdown of the Pittsburgh Steelers prior to Sunday's game. So check it out right now. Hi, we are being joined now by Nick Faribault. You can find him on social media at FaribaughFB. He is a Steeler beat reporter for Penn Live, also the host of Steelers Breakdown. We're going to get a great breakdown of the Pittsburgh Steelers and exactly what this game is going to entail for Green Bay. Nick, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing well, Andy. Thanks for the invitation, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. I think this is such a huge matchup. I think obviously a lot of the NFL fandom is looking forward to Aaron Rodgers versus the Green Bay Packers, Sunday Night Football. A lot of storylines here. The Packers haven't won in Pittsburgh since the Bart Starr days. So there's a lot of storylines here. Where I want to start with you, though, Nick, is just obviously with Aaron Rodgers. What has been his impact in Pittsburgh so far? What's the overall feel for what he's kind of brought to the team, and how are the Steelers trending with him at quarterback right now?
And I think there was a lot of trepidation given what happened with Russell Wilson last year and the late years of Big Ben, but Rodgers looked great. You know, he's looked like a guy that, while maybe not at peak MVP form, still looks like a guy that could sling the rock around. He's winning with his mind and his release, I think, which is really impressive. You're kind of just seeing what a pro's pro does. I think that's been the big thing, and he brings a stability factor to the Steelers' offense they haven't had since the prime, you know, Killer Bees days, probably. And I think that has really allowed the Steelers to kind of feel comfortable really opening up their playbook a little bit, doing some different things. They're mixing the Rodgers with the Arthur Smith stuff. It's been kind of fun, but really the behind the scenes stuff has been even more impressive. I just think having a veteran like Rodgers, who is willing to take a really young offensive line with guys like Frazier, McCormick, Jones, and Fautanu under his wing, take young pass catchers under his wing like Darnell Washington, guys like Jalen Warren. I just think you've really seen it kind of grow. He's had a cultural impact. I think this team really likes what Aaron Rodgers has brought to the table. But really on the field, when you think about it, it just looks different, right? You know, I mean, it doesn't look like they're limited in any way. They keep pulling out tricks out of their bag that we kind of, you know, you expected some week that it's going to hit the rut. It just hasn't. I mean, they keep pulling out new tricks. Rodgers keeps turning back the clock. If you saw him on Thursday Night Football, he was extending plays outside the pocket like he was 25. And he's just gotten more and more comfortable. Earlier in the year, he said, you know, he was dealing with some back tightness, and that's kind of cleared up, and now he feels like he can run around again, and that's been a big thing. As the Steelers' offensive line has kind of also kind of improved over the season, Rodgers got more comfortable around them and trusting them. And so Rodgers' impact has been felt pretty far and wide, not just on the field, but off the field. And he's fitting really well in here. And I think he really enjoys playing for Mike Tomlin as well.
Yeah, he's done a great job avoiding defenders. Now, avoiding his own offensive linemen, that's been another issue altogether. So he's got to definitely make – you just kind of keep eyes in the back of your head. You never know who's coming for you. But, no, it's been awesome to see him play. And I think for Packers fans, seeing him in that Thursday Night Football game, I mean, the play where he extended to Freiermuth, I mean, there were shades of that play against the Chicago Bears when he came back from injury and threw the ball to Randall Cobb over the middle, and then Cobb takes it the rest of the way for the touchdown. And then, of course, the Hail Mary. I think everyone in Packers land, we knew exactly what play was coming, the little rollout to the left and buying time, and we knew he was going to launch it, you know, 60-plus yards through the air. We knew that thing was getting to the end zone, and then just the question of, was there a Jeff Janis or a Richard Rodgers or a Randall Cobb to catch one of those Hail Marys in this case for you guys? Unfortunately, it wasn't, but yeah, he looks like Aaron Rodgers, and for you guys, that's a huge development. What's the feel in Pittsburgh for, you know, where this team can go this season? Is it still we got a legend at quarterback, and let's just see what this thing brings? It's been interesting to see the Steelers are on top of the AFC North. The Ravens are at 1-5, yet some people are still picking the Ravens to win the AFC North at this standpoint. Like, where does Steelers fandom lie on what the rest of the season can potentially bring?
I think Steelers fans are jaded, and I don't blame them. We've seen the same thing happen the last half decade. The Steelers sure either inch their way to the playoffs, barely miss it, and then they get blown out in the wild card round. And I just think even with Rodgers playing this well, the defense has played really poorly, to be quite honest with you, on most of these games, even games where it felt like they were in control. You see Carson Wentz go for 350 on them in Dublin. And it's like, you know, is this going to be a classic Rodgers team where it's like he plays well, but guess what? The defense says something else about it. And it's been kind of, I think, that. And so there's a lot of trepidation about it. You know, the Steelers have certainly, I think, won some games by some luck means early on in the year. They battled with the Jets, for example. So I just think there's a lot of trepidation about how real this team is. And we're going to find out because their schedule gets a lot tougher down the stretch here. But I don't think there's like this there is a kind of trepidation, skepticism, but also there's this expectation where this has to be the year this playoff drought breaks, because he still doesn't want a playoff game since 2017. And it still seems kind of crazy when you think about that under Mike Tomlin, because they are such a winning franchise and they're always in the playoffs, but they haven't won one in 8 years. And I think that has been their sole purpose this year. You know, that's why they went and got Rodgers. Why they traded for Jalen Ramsey. That's why they signed Darius Slay. It's why they did all of these things. And right now, I think in an AFC that appears wide open, it feels like that's a lot easier than you would have thought preseason. Yep. But also, the Steelers have clearly their own flaws. So it's a 4-2, but it's not a stable 4-2. It's not. I think there's a lot of skepticism even in the Steelers fan of, is this team for real, or are we just going to see a repeat of last year where they'll probably skate their way to the playoffs? It's such a weak AFC North, but are they really going to win a playoff game? Are they really going to make a run? And I think that's fair given what they've shown so far.
You've got two big home games against Green Bay and Indianapolis coming up in back-to-back weeks. You're coming off a little bit of an extended bye after that Thursday night football game on the season. Lose to Seattle and lose to the Cincinnati Bengals last week on that Thursday night football game, which is a really fun game to watch as a nonpartisan fan in that one. That was just Flacco and Rodgers turning back the clock. You beat the Jets. You beat the Patriots, which looks like a much bigger win now after the Patriots have won 4 in a row, beat the Minnesota Vikings and then beat the Cleveland Browns. How does Steelers fans feel like this 4-2 start to the season has gone so far?
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of mentioned it. This offense has been the surprise of the year, because I think that was the side everyone thought would be the issue, but it hasn't been. Rodgers has been really good. They've had a stable passing game. They've been able to get explosive plays with DK Metcalf and these tight ends. The run game has come alive. That's been the real development over the last 4 or so games, is Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell are really kind of lighting this on fire. But a young offensive line that the Steelers have, they have 4 guys that are young on that offensive line. It's Isaac Seumalo is the outer statesman, and then you have Broderick Jones at left tackle, Zach Frazier at center, Mason McCormick at right guard, and then Troy Faltano at right tackle. Those guys are kind of coming around, and I think, you know, that has really allowed the run game to pop. It's allowed Rodgers to stay clean, even though he's getting the ball out quick. They've been able to trust them a little bit more to kind of get some downfield passing going. That's been a development for them. But the defense has just been really disappointing. The secondary just kind of looks slow, looks old. The linebacker play has been a little stressed. Patrick Queen has like the roller coaster. You don't know what you're going to get every week. Sometimes you get, you know, an elite game. Sometimes you get what you got against the Bengals. Peyton Wilson is kind of disappointed. And their front has been as good as advertised. So, you know, that's really been the kind of story of this team is, this offense has kept things afloat. They've only scored under 20 points once, and that was against the Seahawks. And they also gave up a free touchdown there when Caleb Johnson let the kickoff fall into the end zone on his own. So they were in that game, and the Seahawks certainly looked like a better team than I think people thought they were preseason. So, and then the Steelers the next week after losing to the Seahawks go up to New England, get 5 turnovers on Drake May and company, and win in a pretty tough environment in Foxborough. And that win is looking like a pretty good one right now. So there's kind of this weird topsy-turvy thing, because I feel like throughout this podcast, Andy, I'm going to talk down on the Steelers and say there's this issue, but I don't know how they do it. They're always in these games. They always are stingy. They have some positives that you can highlight. And they really maximize what they do well. They turn you over a lot on defense. They are really good there. They haven't had 1 in 2 weeks, actually. They didn't turn over the Browns or the Bengals. So I'm going to guess, you know, they had opportunities to get turnovers in both those games, but likely some positive regression is going to come in that way sooner rather than later for them. And then what they do on offense is they run the ball. They kind of slog you out. And they are deceptively explosive. They're not a top-flight offense, but – since week 4, I mean, they are top 10 in most categories, rushing success rate, explosive play rate, like anything you look at offensively, they have been pretty darn good at it over the last 3 or 4 games. So that, I think, is going to be an interesting matchup to watch. And it's really going to be interesting to see if the Steelers defense can kind of lock in and fix some of their ills that have popped up over the season.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I get to make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right on those decisions can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Time to start getting ready for week 8. It's the big one. Aaron Rodgers faces Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. This one's going to be epic, and I'm already all in on Jordan Love in this game with a huge performance. Elsewhere in week 8, I'm going to go with big games for Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, and if he plays, Lamar Jackson as well. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Lamar Jackson passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Guys, it's 2025. The days of going to the doctor for emergencies are over. No more waiting until walking it off for 6 months doesn't work, or your fingers are numb from texting, "I'm fine." It's time to take our health more seriously and get things checked out when we need to. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc makes it easier than ever by helping to find the right doctor quickly and easily. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are highly rated by verified patients. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and more often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. I've already had family members who have used ZocDoc and loved it, and I'll absolutely be utilizing it on all my appointments from here on out. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/packaday to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/packaday. Again, ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/packaday. Mike Tomlin is just a casino. You go in and you feel like, yeah, I feel really good going into this. And then you lose some stuff and you the Steelers on the season, and yeah, they lose from time to time, but you end up at the season at the end of the year and you're like, oh yeah, they won more than they lost. Like just every single year. And like I said, as an opposing team, you go into it feeling like, yeah, I feel really confident going into this. And then you leave and you're like, where'd all my money go? Like why did all those points go away? And it just, he knows how to just get those very small house advantages as a head coach every single time. And it just amounts to a lot of times lately, whether it's a 9-8 or a 10-7 or an 11-6 season, and they get in the playoffs, and it just happens every single year. It's really remarkable. And I know that we as Packers fans know that, you know, just getting to the playoffs year in and year out and not winning that Super Bowl or not winning a playoff game or losing in the divisional round or whatever it might be, there's a bit of a half-life that comes with that. You end up with a crushing playoff loss every year or just coming up a little bit short. It feels like sometimes you're in a no man's land, but it is still really remarkable of what he's able to do every single year and just find ways into winning records every single time.
Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, he is a great floor-raising coach. I mean, they've won 10 games with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Obviously, you see how they're doing in New York. Right. They won 9 games with Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett as their starting rotation.
He's wild.
I mean, he did it twice with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. Like, it's crazy to think about. He did it with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. I mean, it's kind of wild to think that he does that. There's also, I think, you know, the double-edged sword, which sometimes I think he's not as aggressive on third down. On fourth downs, he's, you know, makes some questionable decisions from time to time. And there's some schematic things I think that are kind of popping up now too with him and kind of his defensive scheme. But what he does and kind of how he's able to really crisp on the margins and really has it kind of invented this turnover culture in Pittsburgh that I think has really been a years-long investment in him, and it has been consistent. The Steelers are consistently in the top of the league in turnovers forced because of what they do day in and day out of practice. So he has found a formula of how to do it, but I think even he has grown tired of winning non-losing seasons. I make the playoffs. He wants a playoff win badly.
Yeah.
And they want a taste of success because this is a team that's kind of in transition. They're kind of, even though they're one of the older rosters, they have a lot of young pieces that are trying to kind of learn what it's like to be a Steeler, what it feels like to win. And so I think this year especially is really important for them to start to set that culture with the next generation of Steelers.
Well, we talked obviously a lot about Aaron, DK Metcalf and this offense. Who in general, who does this offense want to be in Pittsburgh? What do they want to accomplish? And how in a perfect world can this Steelers offense beat you?
Yeah, well, they want to run the football. That is what they want to do, and they want to they really want to run it down your throat and then play action off it. I mean, that's Arthur Smith's offense to a T, and even with Aaron Rodgers, it's still very similar. They do a bunch of different play action. They do the usual under center stuff. They'll do some stuff out of gun. They'll do a ton of rollout stuff as well. But the big thing has been this jumbo package they have found. Basically seven offensive linemen when you count Darnell Washington, who is over 300 pounds. They bring in Spencer Anderson, who is their top interior backup, and he has been really good clearing lanes, and they've been able to really work the matchups too because Metcalf is out there. So it's basically a supersized kind of package, and teams have just not been able to defend it. They haven't really found a way to kind of stop it. The Steelers have utilized some 12 personnel out of that too, where Freiermuth or Jonnu is in there and kind of working that into things. So that has been part of their identity. They are going to get big. They are going to get physical, and they are going to say, okay, let's see if you can match us tat for tat. And no team yet has been able to do that. I think the Packers are definitely the best suited team to do that. But even the Browns, who I think have, you know, Myles Garrett and some really solid players up front, got kind of washed out in a lot of the run game. And so this jumbo package has really worked for the Steelers. But what they really want to do outside of that is quick game. And you know, they are really good at the yards after the catch. They'll run a bunch of screens. They'll run a bunch of slants. And what teams have struggled with doing is when Rodgers finds Jaylen Warren, Jonnu Smith, and DK Metcalf in space, those guys have just been able to create. This is DK Metcalf's best yak season of his career, or at least he's on pace for it so far. You saw the big play maybe in Dublin when he just got out the gate on a slant route and took it 81 yards. That's been a kind of feature of it. They'll just dump it off to Jaylen Warren, and he'll get 10 yards. He's been a bowling ball. It's tough to bring him down. Kenny Gainwell's emerged in that kind of attack too. And the one thing the Steelers have been missing over the last two or three weeks that was starting to emerge before he got hurt was Calvin Austin III. He's their wide receiver too. He's small, but he's got good releases, and he's kind of their downfield guy. They kind of throw it to. He won them the Patriots game on a really good go route against Marcus Jones, and that's kind of been something that they've been looking for. Otherwise, they haven't found it. They kind of found it last week with Pat Freiermuth down the seam. I think, you know, the tight ends are going to be a big part of this. They run a ton of 13, 12 personnel. But Calvin Austin III is kind of their field stretching guy. So what they're going to do is quick game you to death. They're going to run the ball. And then when you kind of lull and try and get to single high, they're going to hit you over the top with either a Metcalf bomb down the sideline, or they're going to hit you with Calvin Austin. And so it's kind of an interesting offense, but Rodgers has just been able to set protections. He's been able to kind of win with his mind and find free yards. Like the game in Dublin when he just went toe-to-toe with Brian Flores, and he caught the Vikings multiple times mid-rotation and just got free yards by doing it. That was really fun to watch. And so there's a little bit of Rodgers' mind and release winning in this offense, but they want to run the football. And they're going to try and get explosives off the quick game in the run game whenever you try to kind of then get into single high. I also will say the big development over the past three games, no one since week four is the most explosive runs in the NFL than the Pittsburgh Steelers. That has been a big thing for them, is they have found the explosive run game. So something to think about when you're facing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, for the most part, Green Bay's done a good job of stopping explosive plays. That's going to be kind of a fun matchup there, and Green Bay's really done an unbelievable job stopping explosive runs and stopping the run game. But as you mentioned, you know, tight ends have been an issue for Green Bay. You know, bigger wide receivers like DK Metcalf have been an issue, and quick passing game has been an issue as well. So this is going to be, I think, a really fun matchup between this Jeff Hafley defense and this Aaron Rodgers-led offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. On the flip side, what does this defense want to accomplish? I know it hasn't been exactly easy sledding so far, but they do get a lot of turnovers and some sacks. What does this Pittsburgh Steelers defense want to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it. They want to get after you. The Steelers' blitz rate this year has just, I think, doubled or tripled since last year. They are an aggressive team. They want to get after you. They're doing a bunch of different fronts now that Nick Herbig has kind of emerged as a star from Wisconsin.
Yep.
Alex Highsmith is healthy now. They've done a lot of three outside linebacker stuff. They're still rolling that out. So they've done a bunch of different blitz fronts. Patrick Queen is a very good blitzer from inside linebacker, and they have Deshaun Elliott too from strong safety. Jalen Ramsey's even blitzed off the nickel a good deal. So they have a real cachet of blitzes, and they're going to be aggressive, and they're going to try and get after you. What they have tried to do is play man-to-man behind that. That has not always gone very well. Darius Slay at 34, almost 35, has not looked like he usually has. Father Tom catches up to everybody. It feels like it might have caught Darius Slay. Joey Porter Jr. has been hurt most of the year, but he's back. He had one really good game against Jerry Jeudy and the Browns, and then last week, back to his old ways of getting called for penalties. So you never know what Joey Porter Jr. going to get. I will say, I don't know how much Slay is going to play because he didn't play the last three drives against the Bengals. They went to Brandon Echols, who has been really good for them as their corner four. He played in the absence of Porter, and he's kind of been a revelation. So they might actually make a change there. We'll see. But the kind of identity is they want to get after you. They're going to blitz you both in the run and the pass game. They run a ton of run blitzes to try and get TFLs, put you behind the sticks. And then, you know, when you get to third and nine, third and eight, they feel like their pass rush can then tee off. That's when guys like Herbig and Highsmith and Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, of course, kind of tee off. And so I know the Packers right now have the best not only third down offense, but third and long offense, which I think is going to be an interesting matchup. But the Steelers really feel like they can tee off and win against anybody up front. Derek Harmon, the rookie, has also really emerged as a really good player, not just in run defense, but he's been able to get after the passer. He has two sacks already on the year. There's a few of those are half sacks. So it basically what the Packers have to do is, I think, still stay on schedule to a degree because the Steelers are going to try and tee off. And even if it doesn't end up in sacks, what they've been able to do is get their hands up, tip balls, and force those turnovers off pressures on those third and long. So that's going to be something I think the Packers have to be wary of, even though they're so good on third downs.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting aspect of this. And I just think that the turnover, if you know, the Steelers can turn over Jordan Love in this game, or even just the Packers in general, it's going to be huge. And then, you know, what we kind of talked about too, with Herbig, I've been talking to Packers people all week. It was like, yeah, I know, you know, TJ Watt, but be aware of this guy. He's absolutely unbelievable. And as far as Darius Slay goes, even if he is, Packers fans will be very happy if he's not playing much in this game. He's been a Packers killer over his career in both Detroit and in Philadelphia. So if there's less Darius Slay, Packers fans will be very happy with that overall. Nick, if I told you the Steelers won this game, what would be the sort of DNA and formula for Pittsburgh to win this one? We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code Packaday.
Well, I would say, first of all, their secondary isn't as leaky as it was against the Bengals. That's the big thing. Probably they're able to turn Jordan Love over twice, you know, something like that, or force a fumble on Jacobs or something of the sort. They're able to limit what the Packers can do offensively, and Packers still might score 21-24, but if they're not able to get out into big leads, I think that's a big thing. If the Steelers can start hot early, and the Steelers have been a really hot starting team, they have points on every single opening drive this season so far, and it's allowed them to play their brand of football because they haven't fallen behind very often. And so the Packers, I think, would be wise to try and get out early on them. If the Steelers can control this game and run the ball and try and tee off on you as a blitz team, I think that's when the Steelers get really opportunistic and they can really kind of start to wreck your game plan. If you can play with them even evened up, I think that's when you can start to, you know, play the chess match in the secondary. And the Steelers' secondary has really struggled. They struggled tackling last week too. If Jordan Love can also lean into the quick game a little more than maybe they have in the past, I think that'll be a big part of this too. It's just going to neutralize their front. The Steelers' front last week really had no shot to win, to be quite honest with you, when Flacco was getting rid of the ball 2.26 seconds. There's multiple times on tape last week where you saw Cam Hayward or TJ Watt or Herbig or Highsmith just breaking through right as Flacco is getting rid of the football. So I think that's part of that. And then offensively, I think it's going to be the Steelers working through their tight ends, maybe hitting one or two explosive plays that keeps them afloat, and they're able to just kind of grind out long drives and end them in touchdowns. I think that's going to be the big thing. The Steelers have been a really good red zone offense, as it feels like they have been, haven't been most of these years. And Rodgers has kind of reignited that, and the run game has really been working. So my guess is you get turnovers on Jordan Love. You probably jump out to an early lead so you can play your brand of football, and you're able to kind of quick cut your way down the field against this Packers defense without penalties, turnovers. Still skeptical that's happened because penalties have been an issue for the Steelers the last 2 weeks, and Rodgers had two turnovers last week despite playing really well.
Green Bay has had issues with penalties too, so that might have a way of evening itself out a little bit. I know the answer to this question is a little bit going to be the opposite of everything that you just said, but on the flip side, if the Steelers lose this game, what do you think would be the Achilles heel for Pittsburgh in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly going to be, you know, the defense. And I just think that's going to be kind of what happens this year is what does the defense do? And the secondary is a real big concern. These linebackers can get easily moved in zones. I think that's another thing. If Love uses his eyes to clear lanes, I think, you know, you can move Queen, Wilson, and Holcomb pretty easily. We'll see which Patrick Queen shows up. Before last week, he was playing very well and wasn't letting guys do that. But then Flacco did what Flacco does, and the veteran quarterback moved him very often. I think the other thing is, you know, you're probably able to control the run game a little bit. I think if you can get Josh Jacobs going, that would be huge for them because it forces the Steelers pass rushers to lay back. It kind of takes them out of some of their blitz packages. It's what happened last week is despite the Bengals only rushing for about 56 yards per game, Chase Brown was able to rip off two big runs, a 28-yarder and a 37-yarder, and it kind of changed how the Steelers had to play. It changed the schematic game plan on the back end because they want to play, I think, more split safety looks. They're still a single high-heavy team, but, you know, cover six quarters, cover two, it's at a higher rate than it was last year. They've mixed that in more, and I think they want to do that, but there has been some struggles up front, specifically from the nose tackle position at defending the run. So that could be something too, I think. Offensively, it's just that the Steelers, you know, get penalties, maybe have a turnover or two, and don't maximize what they have. And I'm kind of interested to see how this run game works. If the Steelers can run the ball a little bit on these Packers, and I think that's going to be a monumental task, to be quite honest with you. I'm not expecting that to happen. That would help them control the game. But really, I think is if the Packers can control this game on their offensive side of the ball, really slice through this defense, and especially if they can run the ball, that's going to set up a long day for the Steelers.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really fun matchup. I do think the run game for both of these teams is going to be a real big story here. If Pittsburgh can run the ball behind those, some of those heavy formations, especially and give Green Bay problems there, that's not been an issue for them all year. They've struggled again more with the quick passing attack. But if all of a sudden the Steelers are running the ball well, I think that's going to be huge for them, and vice versa for Green Bay. Haven't quite got Jacobs in that run game going the way that they want. And if that gets going for Green Bay, they become really multiple and really, really difficult to stop. So I do think the run defenses are going to have a lot to say in this one as to how this game goes. Nick, anything else we don't know about the Steelers that we should know heading into this one?
So I do think that the Steelers have a few interesting things that are kind of bubbling under the surface right now. One of those is that their special teams are kind of getting really close to breaking a big return at some point.
Oh, great. I didn't even want to hear that.
Yeah, Keyshawn Williams, he's a rookie out of Indiana, and he has taken over the role with Calvin Austin hurt. Now, even though Austin's back, I think Williams has just done such a good job. He's going to have that role. He has been close to breaking one. They had a punt called back against the Browns on a completely bogus blindside block penalty where he had a 50-yard return. He also has almost broken two different kick returns, so that's one to think about. I think another thing to think about is just some of the personnel on defense. You know, mini buys, I think, give a team a chance to reflect. Guys like Slay, Chuck Clark, Keanu Benton, I might see less of them. You might see more of Juan Thornhill or Jabril Peppers at safety. at nose tackle, you might see more of like Daniel Ekuale or Y.A. Black, their rookie, their other rookie defensive tackle. And at corner, as I said, I think Brandon Echols is going to be someone to think about there. And kind of last but not least, the Steelers have really kind of tried to get Caleb Johnson going over the past few weeks. It's just been a few runs here or there, and they've had a few times, and he's their rookie running back, and he's kind of struggled, and he hasn't gotten out of the gate yet, but he's growing with confidence, and he's probably their most natural wide zone runner.
Okay.
It feels like the dam's close to breaking for him. He at least feels like it is. And so if you see like someone out of nowhere get an explosive run, and it's neither Jalen Warren nor Kenny Gainwell, it's because the Caleb Johnson experiment is continuing as the Steelers try to get their third round pick going. But those are kind of three things I think that are just maybe off the radar that they're working on right now.
Well, thank you. The special teams thing scares the crap out of me. This Packers special teams is never one to absolutely be trusted. So that there's only one way that that can go, and that's probably a kicker punt return for a touchdown for you guys this week. Before we get you out of here, Nick, do you have a final thought or prediction for this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Steelers coming off a loss on Thursday Night Football, prime time, Aaron Rodgers against the Packers is like the most – I say this without any football kind of – analysis at all, just like I would have said when I predicted them to lose last week, because it was the most Steelers loss ever. This is a game the Steelers historically kind of come back and win. But I kind of think the Packers are just so good. I think they're really talented. I'm taking the Packers in this one. I think in a close one, I think it'll be close and good, but I have to believe to see the Steelers secondary and the defense right now. I think Rodgers and the offense are going to be able to probably be fine and put some points up and stay afloat. But I think the Steelers defense is a real big problem for them, and it's going to be Achilles heel for them. So we'll see if they can make some changes, but I'll take the Packers in this one probably.
And I think I'm taking the Steelers in this one. I've been leaning that way all week. So your fans can be mad at you for taking the Packers. My fans can be mad at me for taking the Steelers, and we can just make everyone mad along the way. So exactly where we want to be. Nick, I cannot thank you enough. Where can we find all of your incredible work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at FarableFB. Make sure to check out Steelers stuff at penlab.com/Steelers.
And yeah, check it out too, because we did a home and home. So I went and broke down the Packers Steelers game from a Packers viewpoint over on his channel as well. So make sure to check that out also. And Nick does fantastic work when it comes to the NFL. So if you're not checking it out, you're certainly doing yourself a disservice. Again, you can follow him on social media at FarableFB. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. Nick, I cannot thank you enough. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.